Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 209.
I understand that everyone looks at Job when they think of a patient person, and we should. But if we think that either we have to have the patience of Job, or we don't have patience, we're only setting ourselves up for disappointment. As we have tried to bring out in this series, patience is something that the Holy Spirit produces in us. If we are Christians, we all have patience. However, like all godly attributes, our sin and weakness can ignore the good qualities that the Holy Spirit brings. Even Job cracked at the end, crying out for justice and wishing he were dead, or at least that he'd never been born. The trials of this life can push us to a place where patience is the last quality we want to rely on. In the days of a never-ending pandemic, it seems that all of us are on our last nerve, and patience has been subjected to the category of a long-lost friend that we think we remember we once knew. So how do we get and maintain a daily working measure of patience? Does patience mean we always have to wait, and when we are done, keep waiting? And does patience mean that we can never act? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Tarullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. And with me today, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's a master's student at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. He also serves as an elder here at Westminster. Howdy, Rob.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going today?
Good.
Yeah.
And I just have to, at the beginning, I have to give a special shout out to my good friends, Bilbo and Frodo. A happy birthday to them, as today is their birthday.
Today is Bilbo and Frodo's birthday.
Yeah, they share the same birthday.
How old are each of them?
A lot.
Well, Tolkien fiends fanatics don't keep track of that?
There probably is somewhere that might be able to. It's hard to tell because... Yeah. See, in the Third Age, at the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring, at Bilbo's birthday party, Bilbo is 111, and Frodo's 33. And then, of course, at the end, 13 months later, which is the three books actually take 13 months, so they're into, that actually is the end of the Third Age. But, you know, there's always a few squishy years in there, so the Third Age ends and the next age begins. Mm-hmm. But the question is then, are we currently in the Fourth Age, or has the Fourth Age ended and we're in the Fifth Age? We're not sure, and it's hard to tack on exactly how long the Fourth Age either was or is.
Okay, so there is a corresponding relationship to that world and this world?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well, Tolkien originally set out to write a mythology of England.
Mm-hmm. Didn't happen.
It kind of took on, well, it took on a different kind of life. But yeah, it's supposed to bleed into our current. So the Third Age would have been more of a mythological, what we don't have any written history kind of, and then the Fourth Age is what we understand as our history. Tolkien himself actually did start to write a sequel to Lord of the Rings. He got several chapters in. He got a couple chapters in. Mm-hmm. Talking about really, he kind of picks it up with Aragorn's children. Mm-hmm. And was talking about that. So he had thought about trying to continue it, but it didn't really go any. He was too old to really continue.
Okay, have those been put somewhere?
Christopher Tolkien in the 80s put out what's called the History of Middle Earth, and which has all the different writings, all the drafts, all the bits and pieces. That's where we learned that Frodo's original name was Bingo, Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Frodo that was Bingo. It might have been Bilbo. It was one of them. But
original and, in his mind.
Yeah,
not in the book, but yeah. Yeah.
Bingo was not Bingo.
Bingo.
I can't. I think was it might have been. Name-o? I think it might have been Bilbo. Actually, I can't remember now. It's been a while since I've read that.
LBO.
Yeah. It's just
would have changed everything.
It would have. It really would have. I'm so glad he did not stick with that. But we have little bits and pieces, so you can really see the thought of Tolkien and how he's writing. He changed a lot, and that's you've heard the phrase that there really is no good writing. There's only good rewriting. And that's very true. It's that you write your first draft. And then you go back and you go over and over and over and over. And it's just that kind of a shaping. It's very much, that's why it's in the art category that somebody has a painting. And there's always that, you can always try to, you know, do a touch here and a touch there and change this and change that. And that's how writing is.
So happy birthday to Bilbo.
Happy birthday to Bilbo and Frodo.
And Frodo. There we go. All right, we're done.
See, and today we are talking about patience, which is what you had with me as I got to geek out a little bit.
You did geek out a little bit. Yeah, I just, you know, sat here and rolled my eyes and.
Is that having patience?
No, it wouldn't have been. That's why I said that.
Yeah, so great. So you didn't have patience.
No, I didn't roll my eyes.
You didn't.
Okay. I didn't. I don't even know how to roll my eyes. Oh, there we go. So we're still talking about the fruit of the spirit.
Fruit of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I think patience is one of those characteristics that the Holy Spirit brings, one of the virtues that every Christian will say, oh, wish I had more patience.
Right.
Or I don't have any patience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to a certain extent, that's why, you know, it's manifest more easily when we don't, or it's seen by more people than when we don't. Like right now, right. We're hearing above us and outside of us, the beast barking, yes. Right? Now, yes. I doubt it that it's coming through on the...
I had to throw a side of beef as I walked in just to keep her from devouring
me. And learning patience with your beast, your animal that you is in your home is difficult sometimes.
This is why UPS has to keep hiring people because the beast keeps devouring them. And I think that's actually what's happening right now.
Patience. Well, what is patience, first of all?
It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that we know. Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was a younger father, when the kids were young and we'd say, you know, you need to be patient. You need to be more patient. You need to be patient. We'd define it as waiting without complaining.
That's good.
We would tell, that's how we would define it for them, for kids. And I think it actually works for adults too. But obviously it can be more nuanced than that. There's more to it than just waiting without complaining, because there's a heart attitude, I think, that goes on. So we were looking at, you know, the outward attributes of our children at the moment, you know, so being patient is not being in the car saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Right. it's waiting without complaining about not being there yet, right?
Waiting without sinning. Yeah. I mean, that's without complaining. Complaining is sin. There's a bit of an endurance aspect to it that you're waiting through. There's a time period that is passing.
Well,
to make it through?
What's an older translation of patience? Long suffering.
Right.
I mean, that's a language that I think is still captured in the King James and the New King James, maybe in the, I don't know if it's in the New American Standard or not, but I think a lot of times you see the language of God is long suffering, right? And that means you will suffer long and you do it well. And so what does it mean to suffer long well? Well, that's patience. Yeah, there we answered it all.
Right. Well, I mean, long suffering can also. I mean, like you said, suffering it's built right in there.
Well, it is. It means it's hard.
You can be patient to wait on something that you're not necessarily suffering, though.
No, no, of course not. But the sense of, I mean, scripturally speaking, meaning not necessarily mean this is the only way it can be spoken of, but the patience that is called for in Scripture, generally speaking, has to do with suffering, right? There isn't, you need to be patient, wait for the gift that comes, right? I mean, that's not patience that is being spoken of, right? Yeah, you're thinking of the good stuff, right?
Yeah. Right, or kids waiting up for Christmas, and they're, you know, you can't sleep and you have to wait. You know, that's long suffering. Waiting through the Christmas
night. Yeah. Well, for them, it is suffering, right? It's like, I gotta wait. Yeah. It takes so long, right?
I mean, and then you get up and you find that there's an apple and a banana in your
stocking. Yay! well, actually, I did use that as an illustration years and years ago. You know, talking about patience always brings me back to early years of fatherhood. Because this is when the patience was more and more developed in me, right? For an illustration of the coming of Christ, so it's like a Christmas sermon at one time, I used an illustration of waiting for my firstborn, for Nathaniel, to be born. And it was in context of Simeon waiting. So Simeon is given a promise that he will see the Lord's anointed one, right? I'm not remembering the exact language offhand, but right. he's going to see the Messiah.
He would not die until he saw the Messiah.
And then you have this wonderful picture, which is one of the most vivid and just beautiful pictures in the New Testament, well, scriptures overall. And it's Simeon holding the Christ child, Simeon holding the newborn king. But it's his waiting and his expectation, but also his patience. So it's not there, it's not spoken of as patience, but it's an endurance, like you said. It's a perseverance and a contentedness that he knows he's going to receive the gift that God has given him. And there was a sense in our firstborn of that same, we're waiting for the birth to come. You know, we're waiting for there was an expectation, an anticipation for it. Now, I'm not sure if that's exactly the same thing with regard to Simeon of being patient, but I think it can be, we can think of it in terms of endurance, perseverance, things of that, like you had put there earlier. Yeah. I'm not sure there's a suffering aspect in that sense. But primarily, I think, when we think of suffering in the New Testament, and majority, it is in terms of a long suffering. It's God long suffering with his people, right? It is his people now needing to imitate God to long suffer in this world, to be patient in this world, to bear up underneath the weight of certain sufferings that might be our own. Things that we've done, or things that other people do to us, things of that nature. So anyway, I'm going to blab.
God is always, you bring up a great point, because God seems like he's constantly reminding the children of Israel that he's being patient with them.
He is.
And he is, because, you know, Moses comes down off the mountain and the people demonstrate, they've broken all the Ten Commandments before he's off the mountain. God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses stands there as a mediator. God had every right to wipe them out. And then as Israel's going on hundreds of years later, 200 years later, they keep worshiping other gods, and God has to bring. But God is saying, look, I'm being patient with you, because God can wipe them off the face of the earth any moment that he wishes, because he's righteous and they are sinful. And that's the same with anyone in this world, that God endures patiently with sinners. Withholding his wrath until the day of judgment. And with Christians, some of that same language can be used as well, where especially those of us who are Christians who are sinning to where the Father, as a father comes to children, has to correct them. He does so in patience. When we understand our sin, when a sin is revealed to us in our lives, we often, when we really are at that place of repentance, I think the majority of people will think, boy, God is so good that he is so patient with me, because I'm, you know, or because we have sins, that we struggle with every day, or we have sins that, you know, the sin that easily besets. I mean, everybody's prone to different sins. And so, God in his patience is trying to correct us. But when we understand what sin is and who God is, all we can think of is, boy, he should just wipe me off the face of the earth. Rod Rosenblatt always talks about that, if we, from the White Horse Inn, that if we really understood the severity of our sin, we would just be lying on the floor, shaking with fear and shame. But God in his patience doesn't allow us to really contemplate how bad we are as people, as sinners, as his children, how sinful we are as his children. But every now and then, God will kind of pull back some of that curtain for us. Mm-hmm. And he'll show us and help us to understand some of the severity of our sin. And even that is terrifying.
Yeah, the crossover of these various aspects seems manifold, because as you're speaking of God not allowing us to do this or that, right? I mean, you're also thinking, well, that's because of God's mercy, mm-hmm, his kindness, sure, right? Which are that's, other and his gentleness, yeah, right? And I think when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, to do so in terms of Christ as God is manifest in the flesh helps us most of all, that all of these are aspects where when they are seen in us, they're the aspects of Christ living in us, because these things are that which make us imitators of Christ. That these things are the Spirit of God at work within us, and so they show us to be imitators of Christ in them, in doing them. It's God's life being worked out in us, so to speak, because we're united to Christ, of course. And these show us, these are the things that we should see in God, as you know, long suffering. That's why we go back to the Old Testament. And you mentioned the Exodus event with Moses coming down from the mountain, right? But you see it right from the very beginning with Adam and Eve.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you go back even further, and yeah, God could have done the same exact thing, but he's bearing with us. He's showing his love. And we know that love is patient, right? We go to 1 Corinthians 13, right, love. Right. And all of these things that describe God's love, and the context of 1 Corinthians 13, this divisive congregation that has allowed so many aspects of sin into their life and seemingly unconcerned about it. And Paul just sort of hammers them. And that's what I think, at least, is going on in 1 Corinthians 13. It's not the quintessential wedding passage as most of us use it for. I'm sorry. It's you know, as one pastor I heard say, it's the death passage. It is meant to slap Christians in the face, especially the Corinthians at first, right? That's the initial application. If you read through it, this is what love looks like. Mm. And this is what you are not doing. And this is meant to wake you up and smack you over the head and show you that you are not being a Christian in the way that you are behaving. Because look at Christ. Look at Christ manifest. This is what he is. This is love, right? And that's why he starts out with those, you know, if I were this without love, you know, it's nothing. If I were this without love, it doesn't mean anything. Even if I give myself over to death as a martyr, without love, it means nothing, right? So it's Paul sort of just saying, you know, I don't think he's showing, you know, anything sinful, of course, in this, but he is being really strong with the Corinthians at that point. And that love must contain the sense of patience with one another. And we see it later defined, say, in a place like Ephesians chapter 4, where it's going on, which is about unity, right? You start off there, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness. Guess what? With patience, yeah, right? Bearing with one another in love. Mm-hmm. Eager to maintain the unity of the bond of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So these things that we see in Galatians 5 in the fruit of the Spirit, we see also in a passage like this, referring to, you know, Paul applying these things to a different context, but still unity, humility, patience, having a sort of a defined by almost by bearing with one another. It's just remarkable of how these things flow in and out of one another, and we can speak of them separately, but not distinct. But not well. We can speak of them distinctly and particularly, but we cannot speak of them separately.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's interesting with Paul, because he's writing to congregations usually.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, look, love is patient. Love is kind. So if you're not patient with your fellow brother, you're not loving them, was his point. And we've seen with the fruits of the Spirit that the context of this is what the Spirit is going to give you, it's always seen within our relationship to God and our relationship to our fellow believers. And so here, patience, if we are disagreeing with someone, no matter what it is, whether if we're in the right, if we're in the wrong, if we are longing to see someone in the congregation who perhaps is struggling with temper or another sin or gossip, or we long to see them not causing those problems, we don't love them unless we're being patient with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not over it in a week, and we're frustrated with that, we're not loving. And that doesn't mean that we don't try to correct. It doesn't. I think I had in the pre-show notes, I said, actually the question is love, or is patience, sitting on a pillow somewhere, in them kind of a meditative, mm-hmm. where you're just sitting there not doing anything and there's everything. Okay. I'm just going to be patient where I'm not going to move. That's my patience.
Not moving, it means you're being anything. Still.
Yes, I'm just going to be still. And that, which really sounds good, in this room, nobody there, and I'm mm-hmm. just going to be alone. And isn't that being patient? I mean, it can be, right?
That can be an outworking of being patient, but that's, patience seems to indicate that someone else is involved.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right? That there is an interaction going on with another person. Right. So
you were talking about your children before. Yeah, I mean, you're being patient with them is actually enduring, or the whatever behavior you're trying to correct.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's take it to an aspect where it's not that the other person is sinning. It's mm-hmm. not that they're wrong about something. You just really have such a different personality, it's hard to be around that person because you're so different.
Yeah, and there's the enduring part, right? I mean,
but I think even enduring, we often think of that as we're enduring something bad, that there's something wrong over there. There's something bad.
Yeah, that's not necessarily what I'm suggesting or I think is always going on. Yeah. The idea of long suffering means that you're suffering through it. All right.
Yes.
What, no matter what it is, right? Maybe it's something you shouldn't be considering. It's suffering. Like when one of my daughters, so here we'll go back to children again, right? One of the funny stories we tell is, the first congregation I served, and daddy's pastoral prayer was going on a little bit longer than my little girl wanted to endure. And so she's lying down in the pew and she starts to bring out a fake snore.
I've not heard this story. This is pretty good.
And
is this your middle daughter?
This is my middle daughter. Yes. My youngest was too young at the time to do that.
Yeah. No, I know your middle.
Yeah. Yes. And so she's lying down, big head of hair, a curl. I couldn't hear her, but this is so, I think a few people around her did. And my wife certainly did. And so, she looked over at her and, she looked up with a coy little smile with a fake, I'm not going to do it on the air, but a fake snore. And, and so my wife is just like laughing, trying to stifle the laugh because it's cute, while at the same time, very impatient, because she's not able to endure daddy's prayer, the pastoral prayer. So you have it come out in that type of situation as well, right? Which, when you're trying to train your child, you don't want them to do that, and so there's a showing of a child's impatience for something that's longer than they can, that they want to endure. So it's not something that's bad that they're having to endure, but they are suffering through it, right?
There might have been a little bit of sin going on as well.
Exactly. But, yeah. Well, impatience, right?
But even, well, right.
But not. But the thing that that was in her mind, she's suffering through, was not bad.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
So that's another scenario, a cute one, but yeah. Another scenario where something you have to endure, so to speak, from a child's perspective at least, is not a sinful thing that they're enduring, but is something that they feel as though they need to long suffer through, you know, or, you know, daddy's or anyone, any, you know, the pastor's long sermon, which is might not be a good thing, but they need to, you know, we as Christians need to endure. We need to work through. We need to be able to withstand sitting quietly, as children need to learn as well, for 30 to 40 minutes. Hopefully not much longer, but I know that, you know, some pastors do 45 to an hour. That in our day and age is a very difficult thing for some people to do. And in a certain respect, there's an amount of patience that we all need to learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the old, I don't know if it's an adage at all. I just remember being given the wisdom. Well, actually, I'm not even sure if it's wisdom. I remember being told, pray for patience. Expect to have things you need to be patient for.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Right.
And it's true.
Right. Because it's the only way that you are going to be able to have patience worked in you is to have things that you need to be patient about. Now, in my particular life, I did pray for patience, and I mean, I had children.
You had three children.
Right. But I mean, nothing in particularly difficult, but I haven't had to endure the things that many people have had to endure, right? You know, very difficult health challenges, very difficult marriage issues or difficult family issues or children issues. Those things have not been a part of my life. I've been very blessed with regard to that, and I thank God for it. But many people have had to learn patience through very difficult matters and circumstances.
But I think that also we are wired to endure certain problems in life differently than other people. Mm-hmm. So there have been being a pastor now for you for 18 years.
16.
16 years. See, it feels like longer.
and you haven't had the had them for.
So, but you've had, I mean, you know, all kidding aside, you've had people within the congregation that you've had to be patient with. And you've been, I'm sure that there's been times disappointed with maybe visitors or people within the congregation, not of course the current one, but you know, and there's certain aspects of your job that other people might not be able to have the same patience for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like they probably look at you and think, like, wow, you've got a lot of patience dealing with that situation. Well, and you might be thinking, actually, I wish the situation was better or different, but you're thinking, well, actually I'm fine. But people are wired differently.
Yeah.
So for the person looking at that situation, they very well might struggle and have to be praying every day for more patience. Whereas God has blessed you with certain characteristics that you can then make it through that situation without feeling that you've had to endure at a horrible, you know, record that you were driving you crazy kind of thing.
And I think that shows forth in other ways too. And I, you know, speaking personally again, impatience for me is easier. I'm not sure if I'm wording this well, with my family. So it's easier for me to be patient with people outside of my immediate family. So I become more easily impatient with my close family, right? Wife and children, which I wish wasn't the case. And I recognize, and I, you know, go to my children, I apologize and even ask for forgiveness when I am impatient. And my wife is thankful. I'm thankful that she tells me when I am being impatient, because sometimes I don't recognize it. But outside of my immediate family, it's much easier for me to be patient. But that doesn't mean I'm always patient. I wish I was patient all the time.
Situations are always different. I mean, we're going through this time of pandemic, and it's probably, because patience is definitely something that when I was younger, I was very impatient about things. The Lord has through the Holy Spirit worked and allowed me to become more patient in life in general. That doesn't mean that there aren't other things that I'm impatient for, but I can look back and say, you know, that's better. The pandemic has definitely been something that has been trying my patience more than I have in a long time, because I just want it to end. It just, and I'm, of course everybody does, but I mean, you know, I've had so much of my life just put into this like box that I can't get out of. That's how I feel. And I just want it to end so I can go on with my life. And having that kind of enduring patience can be difficult on different days. I think a lot of people, this is, I don't think I'm alone. I think it's probably true of a lot of people that we just want to get past this. And regardless of what the election, like regardless of what year it is, the elections are always something that bring up, because you have two sides that are sniping at each other, and tensions usually are heightened, and people respond quicker to things, maybe not in the best of ways. So we have this pandemic, and we have a very contentious election going on. And so I've seen, and I probably felt, a shortness of patience with people that normally it wouldn't be a problem, but because of everything that's going on, I feel like I'm always on edge.
And a little more tense, a little more even anxious at times because of everything. And then, I mean, not only that, but if you're someone who's sort of, if not always watching news or at least paying attention to it, that can heighten that sense of anxiety and sort of frustration with the world in such a way that that impatience is much more quickly to come by. But I think, you know, with all of the talk of future things happening, you know, potential for ongoing violence in our cities or riots and looting and such as has been indicated that could happen, but also with it's not a threat, but predictions of things getting worse with the pandemic as fall and winter come in some portions of our country. I mean, fall and winter come throughout the whole country, but as as the northern parts of as where we live,
those of us who actually have winter,
as those things come, and then cabin fever will ensue, and there's less sunlight,
I'm just going to lay down on the floor here.
and you know, we have like, you know, 2 hours of bright of sunlight a day.
Yeah, I think I saw the sun today.
As that comes, I think that will make things even more challenging for a lot of people who need that sunshine, who need to get out doors. So I think things are going to be heightened even more.
It's interesting. You talked about Simeon and the patience that he had, where he's told that he won't die until he sees the Messiah. And here he is coming to the temple every day. It's today going to be the day. And I mean, going about, this is where I was talking about, you know, going, sitting on a cushion somewhere and just, you know, being still. It's okay. We can be patient waiting on something, but still go through your life and get things done. And Simeon is doing his duties. And then the day finally comes, and we don't know exactly how he was told, but some of the Spirit somehow indicated to him that here's the Messiah in this 8-day-old baby. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And he picks up the baby and he sings, and he is so joyous, and that's, again, the joy that the finality of what he had to endure. He had to endure that waiting every day, looking for the Messiah, a good thing, wanting a good thing, and then holding that good thing in his arms, and the joy that burst forth from him. Which is a great example of a joyous end for, you know, patience. And then we can go back to Abraham and Sarah, okay, you just need to wait for your son. And they didn't.
No, exactly.
But I understand that because, and I'm sure that Abraham, you know, because we all start to do this. God has promised him a son. Well, he probably thought, well, okay, Hagar is my wife's servant. And this was not uncommon during that time to take a servant and this is, I'm going to have a child through the servant for Sarah. Like, this will be Sarah's child. Mm-hmm. Culturally, that was acceptable. That was understood. Mm-hmm. So we can see how it's not like Abraham just got up one day and said, I'm going to defy the Lord. He thought, oh, this must be the way the Lord's going to do it.
Right.
And hey, Hagar, she gets pregnant. So isn't that confirmation that this must be what the Lord had? But of course, he wasn't patient. He was disobedient. And it caused a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. We often talk about, the patience of Job, But, and believe me, Job endures a lot. The loss of his wealth, the loss of his children, the scorn of his wife, the loss of his reputation, the sickness and illness, his friends coming to help him. And they may have even had some good intentions, but their theology was pretty bad. And he's sitting there defending himself. No, I haven't sinned. I haven't sinned. And he finally gets to that breaking point. His patience runs out. And he gets to the point where he cries out for an advocate. He cries out, look, if somebody would just come and please, he just wanted to know. If he had done something wrong, and he didn't think he did, but if he had, he wanted to know. But at least he wanted to be vindicated. He wanted for someone to come and say, no, your suffering is not because of sin in your life, which is what his friends were telling him. This is why you're suffering. And he says, no, I'm not. And I want somebody to come and vindicate me. But he also comes to the place where he's, I just wish I'd never been born. Mm-hmm. And that's a lack of patience. So it comes to that place of frustration for him. And yet, we're given that as an example, that whole thing that even though we might endure for years needing patience, and we're still, it's not being taken away. It was Paul saying, look, this thorn in my flesh. I kept praying, but he was eventually told, no.
Right.
This is not going to be. Well, he had to have patience even after that to continue to live with this thorn in his flesh. Mm-hmm. Job had to be shown that he should have kept being patient with God. And of course, he repents of that and has to come to the place where he then, okay, I will continue to be patient. So that's the same with us. We just need to incorporate this into our lives. If there are, like I was talking about, the pandemic. So it's not over. Whatever it is, whatever we can blame it on, for whatever severity we want to say is justified for shutting things down, it doesn't matter. In one sense, we have to have patience
to
endure through it. And we can't come to that place where we are like Job and say, oh, I wish I had never been born. Mm-hmm. We can't come to the place like Abraham and sin.
Yeah.
We just have to be like Simeon, and we have to come through and say, I will continue to wait day in, day out until
that he brings
good thing comes.
Yeah, until he brings the promise of what he was. I mean, not that we're working off of a promise to ourselves here.
No.
We're not promised the end of the pandemic ever, right? Or the ongoing effects of it. We're told by professionals that they're going to be years of effects of this, whether it's economic or the way that people interact from this point on. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, we have one expert says one thing, one expert says another.
Well, that's the challenge, right? Because depending on who you listen to one day, which news network or TV station, whatever the case might be, or magazine or paper, there are different scenarios that are given to us, and we just don't know, at least I don't, based upon the things I've read, what the future holds with regard to this. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? Well, we do the jobs that we have to the best of our ability in the context that we have, in love, which means with patience, kindness, gentleness, right? All of these things with the fruit of the Spirit working in us. And where we find ourselves struggling in such things, asking God's help and going to his word, where we know that he speaks to us, attending to all of the things that he wants us to attend to. So what am I saying here? Being faithful. right? Being faithful, that is the big thing that Israel wasn't, right?
Right, right.
And Israel is given to us as an example of how they faltered and failed over and over again so that we wouldn't. And what do? They grumble, they complain, and they're unfaithful. So not only are they unfaithful, but they grumble and complain about the stuff that they're unfaithful about, right? Yeah. And they cry out, as we saw when we went through Malachi, they cry out, what did we do wrong? Well, yeah. What's wrong with us? Right. We're your people, God. And he's, do you do this? Do you do that? You know, blah, blah, you know, over and over again. And they're like, oh, us? Who? Me?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we ought not to do. Whatever comes our way, by the Lord's hand, we settle on it. We do the best we can to be faithful, and we remain content, pressing on, enduring, and with patience, and that's not easy. I'm not saying, oh yeah, yeah. I'm not being flippant about this. I mean, the answer is a simple answer. But it's not an easy answer in the sense of how we're to do this, how we are to endure. Those things are not easy, but it is straightforward. Yeah. That's what I mean by simple. It's straightforward. It's in the scriptures. It's just, and who do we have as an example of this? And not just an example, but someone that we can find as a source of strength and power in this. And that's our Lord. Right, we started earlier talking about this, and that is that this is our God, the one who long suffers with us, who is patient with us. Well, where do we see that made manifest? Well, manifest in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, and we see Him the most patient. I mean, He is God, who has come in the flesh, and He's dealing with us day to day. That's patience. That's endurance. That is someone who long suffers His 33 years on earth. And He, my goodness, He shows forth that suffering or that patience in such a way that we can look, we have a description of His life on earth. Mm-hmm. We have that interpreted for us and understood through the writings of the scriptures after the fact and what He is continuing to do for us. And that is He's poured out His Spirit, which means He, that is the Son of God manifest in the flesh, who is now exalted at the right hand of God in His session, current session, ruling over us, has poured out His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is working in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He is the one that is working to produce a fruit within us. That is what we have, and that is what we day to day forget. And we have that power in us to show forth to the world around us how to live, how to find God, what love is, all of those wonderful things we talk about. You know, when we're talking about showing forth a witness and testimony in our lives. So it's straightforward, but certainly not easy.
Right. The what a great witness we can have when people will look to us and say, how in the world can you be so patient during these kinds of times? And we say, because of Christ.
Yeah. How are you not flipping out right now, right? I mean, going crazy. All this stuff is happening to you. I mean, and everyone has these different things that happen in their lives. I mean, absolutely. I'm sure our listeners have been in a wide scale affected by the virus in different ways. And because we have people from not only our nation in this listening, but other nations that have been affected in completely different ways, and some more severely than others. But we're all brothers and sisters in Christ listening to this, and as we do, we realize that the challenge is different, and so we need to come to the Lord, all of us, to give us the measure of the Spirit that we need to persevere and to press on and to be as specifically as we're talking today, patient. And as I was sort of looking through the verses that we talked about already, 1 Corinthians 13, Ephesians 4, 2, both mentioning patience. And I was also reminded of the language that Paul uses in Colossians 1, and there he uses patience as well. And I just want to read a few verses from there. And so Colossians 1, Paul is in his thanksgiving and in his prayer over the Colossians. He says in verse 9, beginning in verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's just a wonderful passage. That's 1 Corinthians 1:9-14. In that, well, first, here you see so much of the overlap with Ephesians. And because this is a very similar prayer that Paul makes to the Ephesian of the Ephesian church as well. And the prayer is that you'd be filled with knowledge of his will, that you'd have all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that you'd walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And then he sort of describes that, bearing fruit in every good work that you do, increasing in knowledge. So the prayer is that this is all a prayer, increasing and bearing fruit, and described as being strengthened with all power, power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience. And we talked about joy, with joy, that not only are we have patience, right, waiting without complaining, we've expanded on that, but waiting without complaining with joy. We talked about joy last time. And so all of these things are linked and working together because we are those who've been transferred out of the domain of darkness, delivered from, now living in the kingdom of God's beloved Son, through whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, what a wonderful passage to remind us of so many things, of what God has done, of who Christ is, and how we can live in this world. And, you know, the ancient world, the modern world, a lot of differences, a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we need, to hear afresh what Paul says to the first century saints, for us to live in this 21st century, we're in the 21st century now, in the 21st century, 2,000 years later, to be able to live this Christian life in a world that we, for all intents and purposes, have spiritually speaking been delivered from this domain of darkness, where there is the this present evil age, right? And we've been transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son. I mean, what a glorious way of living we have. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Of course, you can find us at reformforum.org. And I do encourage you, if you haven't recently, or to go and check it out, reformforum.org. There's a wonderful, lots and lots of stuff there. Especially new to it is the Reformed Academy. So you check that out. There are many free resources for you to sign up for and be a part of. And if you have any thing you want us to talk about or have any comments for us, you can do that at mail@reformforum.org. If you want to check out the congregation that Rob and I serve, you can go to westminsteropc.org, or for more broadly speaking, OPCs in Chicagoland, chicagoreform.org. What are we talking about next time, Rob?
Next time we'll be talking about kindness.
Kindness. So still fruit of the Spirit, working our way through to kindness. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.